indicators, but indicators without the finance, without the means to implement, will just be meaningless. So what developing countries are saying here is we need a roadmap on adaptation. On the Just Transition Work Programme, there's a demand, it's been echoed by civil society and by the developing countries, the G77, saying we need a BLEM action mechanism. This sounds like a technical term, but really what it means is that there will be not just coordination, but actually a concrete plan that allows people to plan about how we manage this change and ensure everybody has a right to live with dignity and harmony with our planet. Now, the third thing is on fossil fuels. Now, fossil fuels themselves aren't in these negotiations as such, but there are countries coming here, like Colombia, that's saying, we've got a roadmap. We can ensure that we can move away from fossil fuels, but that, of course, requires us to have finance. It requires us to understand the diversification for lots of countries who are relying on fossil fuels, and of course, recognizing that for many countries, including developing countries, they're trapped in a cycle of debt, which means that they keep having to exploit their fossil fuels. So if we want to end that, we need a plan on that as well.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there for today, but we are here all week. We're talking about the climate catastrophe and what people are doing about it. I want to thank Asad Rehman, now chief executive of Friends of the Earth. That does it for our show as we broadcast from the UN COP30 Climate Summit in the Brazilian city of Belém, the gateway to...
You're listening to KBOO Portland. KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland and online through public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Listen to Black Book Talk at KBOO-FM every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon. Co-hosts O.B. Hill, Patricia Welch, and Emma Jackson Ford discuss African-American authors and books. That's Black Book Talk every first Thursday from 11:30 till noon on KBOO-FM.
Good morning, and you are listening to KBOO-FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. Today is Monday, the 17th of November. It is approximately 8:02 a.m., and I am Cecil, and I will be your host this morning on More Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for spending a part of your day to start your morning with your local, your community radio station, KBOO. Our numbers, for those of you who are interested in being a part of our conversations this morning, you may call us at 503-231-8187. There's certainly a lot you may want to talk about your weekend, to talk about what's happening in our world, and to reflect on the state of everything. So again, our numbers are 503-231-8187. And so I have a question for you, and it should be a fairly simple question. But tell me, what do these names have all in common? San Marino, Myanmar, Afghanistan, and the United States of America. What unite those four countries, the United States, Afghanistan, Myanmar, and San Marino? Now, I know you are a intelligent and wise people, and you know the answer to that. Well, the U.S. has joined Afghanistan, Myanmar, and San Marino as the only countries not registering a delegation for this summit, the COP30 summit in Brazil right now. Four countries have not registered an official delegate, although there was one federal employee at the from the United States at the climate summit, a congressman from Massachusetts. But there might be lower level officials at the this important meeting. But again, the United States, and following, I believe, Mr. Trump designation of this is something that the United States will absent itself from, and once again finding itself on the outside. So the world's largest historical emitter has not sent a delegation to the talks, just revealing so much of the challenges we face in the world. So you might have some thoughts about that. Give us a call. And what are ways in which we can persuade, energize the federal administration in terms of being more proactive in terms of the climate disasters that we are facing and our responsibility? But I also wanted to talk about things that are happening here in the United States. And certainly one of the things that has focused a lot of attention on the national media, certainly, has been the divorce that has happened, the apparent divorce between Donald J. Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene, initially over the release of the Epstein files, and also because of the inability, according to the Congresswoman, the inability of the federal administration to address real economic concerns, issues that the Congresswoman felt the president and his administration failed to address. The inability to address the rising health costs for insurance that will impact all of us come January. The inability, and it's interesting that the Congresswoman, who certainly becoming an advocate for subsidies to help pay for health insurance, suddenly became aware of that because of the impact we'll have on her own family. And so she said, well, this is something that's concerned my family and also my district. What are you doing, Mr. President, to address these concerns? Also, apparently, the Congresswoman has also had another awakening as such, because the Congresswoman has now been the focus of attention of attack by the President, who has taken up his call to attack the Congresswoman. And she has felt the wrath of the President and has certainly talked about worry about physical harm that might come to her. And again, this is an awakening, and it's sort of like, Congresswoman, no one should be threatened, and certainly no one should live in fear. But also an awareness that maybe she is becoming aware of the type of actions she has engaged in over the years in attacking people, and maybe she has an awareness of what it means to be attacked by the most powerful person in the world. But Congress has, and so she continues to attack the President, and the President most recently has, I woke up this morning and has reversed course and said now that the Congress should vote to release the Epstein's files. Interesting that he's saying this a couple of days after he ordered his Department of Justice to begin investigation of some people who were named in some of the emails that were released by the Epstein estate. So therefore, I'm wondering if the files might be kept from being released because they are under investigations, so they can't release them. But this is Trump being Trump and probably turning our attention from things that we ought to be. So whether they are released or not released, the concerns that people continue to face in terms of whether or not they're able to pay for their medical insurance come January, whether or not we are able to afford groceries, that those continue to fade, and we continue to ask, where's the federal government and what should we do? Closer to home, you might have been paying attention to the Portland City Council. This weekend, a few days ago, they rejected a plan in terms of the City Impact Reduction Program, which currently has an annual budget of $14.7 million, largely goes to dismantling homeless camps and removing trash from public spaces. There was a proposal by Council Member Angelita Murillo, who's here in studio on this program a few weeks ago. She introduced a resolution that would have reduced the program budgets by $4.3 million, among other things. She wanted the money instead go to city personnel costs and grants supporting housing, food assistance, and immigration support services. That did not passed City Council. Portland City Council recently did not get a majority of City Councilors' vote. And so this program continues as is, and we will see what happens, whether or not there can be an attempt for people to come together and find common solution to houselessness. Those are some of the thoughts that are running through my mind, but I'm sure you have other things to say that are important to hear. So again, before we go to our first caller, let me remind you, our numbers are 503-231-8187, and let's go to our first caller. Santiago has some thoughts for us this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, the thing is like, you know, I think what a lot of people are missing is that, you know, at least with your, in regards to your first question, you know, try, you know, because America will American politicians, American businessmen will often cite that, you know, China is currently using fossil fuels as well as India, and that's fine and well. But the problem is that, you know, we don't understand, it's Americans not understanding that we, between us and Britain, but definitely more America, especially when you consider the sheer usage of the military industrial complex, we have essentially colonized the atmosphere.
Yes.
And so the idea of trying to hold down India and China in an effort to drown them so we can stay afloat is really just hypocritical nonsense. Do I agree that they're using them to an extent? Absolutely not. But the fact of the matter is you can't just kick the ladder out from other people because America genuinely does not care about the climate, at least American politicians anyway. And so the fact that they use this as they use it as an excuse to hold back China and India as a way for them to keep from like modernizing. And plus people forget the fact that like while China, yes, is definitely using fossil fuels, they are also creating infrastructure that will allow them to go fossil fuelless here in the near future with their super trains and all this other stuff they got going on. It's a very short time before they can start really weaning off of fossil fuels. So I think there's that a lot of people don't recognize. And I think more to your second question, about Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene. I love it. I love seeing them fight. But the one thing I can't stand is, that the Democrats are allowing Marjorie Taylor Greene to have a correct argument. Now, granted, she is coming from a place of anti-Semitic vitriol.
Yes.
But the fact that she is calling out that America supports Israel and that, while people are suffering without health care and without meaningful gainful employment or a place to live, you know, while we are supporting Israel's ability to do so, is a travesty. And the fact that Democrats are so dedicated to the institutions that ultimately denigrate workers in an effort to preserve decorum, allowing Marjorie Taylor Greene to have that argument is not good, because at the end of the day she's a white supremacist, and it really is not that far off from what Nick Fuentes says, who is another white supremacist voice who is coming to prominence. So this is why the Democrats are just wholly ineffectual in what they're doing,
right?
Both on the front of like trying to curb fossil fuels and, because essentially trying to green, trying to make the military green, which has shown will not work. And the fact that they are allowing their supposed ideological opposition to have correct arguments for the sake of preserving decorum in institutions. So it's just gross all the way around. And the Democrats are just, if they are not incompetent, then they are complicit and just failures to address anything meaningful for working class folks.
Do you think it's possible, as you just stated, those in power certainly have no interest in addressing the issues around climate. But is it inevitable that they will have to address it?
Not really. Only to save themselves, if anything else. Right now, it's kind of like this whole No Kings protest. You know, the No Kings protest, you know, until the problem lands on their doorstep, they are not going to address it.
Okay.
You know, sure. Like people were perfectly, most Americans were perfectly fine as long as the horrors of capitalism were not visited upon the white suburban and even like upper kind of like PMC,
right.
Professional managerial class, black and brown folks, perfectly fine with what America was doing around the world to black and brown folks. Even here, we are perfectly fine with it. But now that it has landed on their doorstep, now we're talking about No Kings. And it's like indigenous folks and have been dealing with this for 500 years.
Yes.
You know, it's, what we really need is we need a working class party, because go ahead.
No, I wanted to affirm what you are saying, and I also want to ask, is it possible, once people become aware of what, as you observe, indigenous folks have experienced for hundreds of years with the colonizers, is it possible that change can come? And certainly there are things that people are doing, and how certainly people such as Marjorie Taylor Greene are coming at it from a whole totally different perspective. But there are there ways in which people can be invited in using her, not, you know, as an example, but your neighbors, your MAGA neighbors, how do you address them?
Well, what I will say is, so first of all, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene has the right argument for the wrong reason. So we can put that right out there. But I think more importantly, I think it's if we're going to talk about doing something, we have to talk about like what a political party is. And in short, a political party is a political vehicle which organizes based on class to acquire and secure goods and resources from the means of production for that particular class. So when we're talking about changing the system or being able to get people meaningfully involved, people understand that people inherently, most people are waking up to the fact that, you know, that the essence of both the Republican and Democratic parties exists to secure goods and services, if you will, from the means of production for the bourgeois class. Now,
excellent.
We are distracted
excellent.
By forms because the Republicans are definitely the more like raw, red, white man's fascist party, whereas the Democrats are more of the blue corporatist fascist party that leans a little bit more into like assimilation and, you know, the rainbow imperialism, if you will.
Hey, Santi.
The fact of the matter is that when you engage with them, regardless of which side, nothing changes for the working class. So if we're going to talk about addressing what needs to happen, we need to have a political party.
Hey, Santiago.
Addresses the working class.
Okay, we hear
That's
you.
The most important thing.
We hear you. There's a couple of callers behind you, so we have to continue.
Sorry. Okay.
No, you had no idea. And then my engineer saying, there's calls. There's other callers. So thanks a lot, Santiago. Okay. And you have a great day.
Hey, no problem.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And we want to hear from you. So have patience with us. Let's go to our next caller. Janet, good morning. How are you this morning?
I really appreciate every time Santiago has such a good way of contextualizing some really huge, complicated things that we have so much smoke and mirrors that it's pretty hard to grab an angle.
Mm-hmm.
But for myself, I was listening to John Elmer. He's a very high shelf geopolitical politician talk about what's going on with India and Pakistan, and how the United States is always somehow in the back trying to finagle more oil and that sort of thing. And well, actually, when I was in New York, I got to see Nehru. And so the thing that's really concerning me these days, is the complexity of what we're looking at. The Rabbi Lerner, he wrote in The Left Hand of God, the problem with the malaise of spirituality is people are always looking for what's in it for them. And as far as, you know, being, you know, really humanitarian, then we can appreciate all people impartially. And so then my background spiritually or whatever, people coming through Ellis Island, finding a place in the Lower East Side, being like a poor tailor, taking care of the kids. And
yes.
And then people, Simone Beauvoir, she talked about the defensive aggressive situation where people, when people feel insecure, and then they somehow look for someone else to, and then we kind of zigzag our way into some type of competitive situation where we're looking out for our kids and the hell with your kids. And it goes all the way to the Tanya Hardy thing.
Yes.
And so when I think about, you know, people are supposed to be such extraordinary scholars. The one I've been looking at most recently is the debate between Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Buber. Because, well, I thought, well, Martin Buber, he's probably great. And he's writing all these amazing things about I and thou. And I'm thinking, well, what is I and thou? It sounds really good, you know. Here's Cecil and Janet talking to each other in the moments. Clearly not thinking, he's thinking, well, what I and thou is, he's having a pretty serious debate with Mahatma Gandhi about Zionism landing in Israel, and the hell with the Arabs.
Okay.
Because they've been victimized, and so they deserve to go in there, and then they make a claim to it. And thinking errors include like minimizing, justifying, and then leaving certain things out, and kind of pasting some kind of rationale.
Hey, Jen.
Right. So it's interesting situation. If you can weigh in on it, I appreciate it.
Okay. No, I can't, because I had to. I'm having difficulty following your argument right now. So could you,
because to make it smaller, is Gandhi is saying
no. Okay. I just pulled up, you know, Martin Buber and Gandhi, and I didn't know, you know, they even knew one another. But I'll certainly read this article by Avner Falk. But
okay,
that's well, homework.
Good problem. The point is, Gandhi was saying, leave Palestinians alone. And so take a look at it, and we can discuss it some more, because I think it's quite relevant.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Janet. And you have a good morning. You are continuing to listen to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil. Our number 503-231-8187. And our next caller is RT. Good morning.
Hi there, Cecil.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right. I have something to kind of celebrate.
Oh.
I mean, if there's anything to celebrate, it may be thought of as a small thing. But first of all, I wanted to emphasize that the state of the environment is really top my list, and plenty of people's list of objectives that we have to deal with, discuss.
Yes.
Especially pertinent now, you know, with COP30 going on, and as well within the Portland as a, you know, whole metropolitan area, you know, it's the same kinds of trouble with our consumption of motor vehicle fuels. It's going on across the country and the world.
Yes,
you know that. So what I want to say is a good thing that happened this week was Oregon Department of Transportation Director Chris Strickler.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he says he resigned, but I think he was pushed out the door.
Okay.
He was shown the door. I've been over the decades that I've been working in Portland transportation planning to make mass transit an alternative that can work for more people.
So you said he resigned his position. And why do you think this is a good thing or not a good thing that he was shown the door?
His competence is most definitely in question. I would not call him an honest representative to sit on, act as director of any transportation planning agency. He's from the Columbia River Crossing Bridge to the Southwest Corridor Max extension on Highway 99 to now the Rose Corridor. And those are multi-billion dollar projects. Public works projects he has misled them terribly.
So what do you think is the direction we'll going forward through the Department of Transportation?
He will probably be replaced with a lookalike, someone who will say the same things. Oh, yes, we're doing such great work. Just trust us.
So what would you, if someone asks you, what do you think needs to be done?
I'm
reappointing you to that position. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's a fair question. our cities need to be more walkable, and mass transit, users of mass transit are first of all walkers.
Mm-hmm.
We need to emphasize the kinds of routes that need to be dedicated for bicycling.
Yes.
Overall, we have to look at how much traffic that we're generating, and it's a part of the system. Mm-hmm. So that the amount of driving can't be avoided as in the current direction that we're taking. It will only increase,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. That's not just this theory. That's what is happening across the country and the world. To open the discussion, I've been at it for years now, and it's hard to get people to understand that the quickly advancing threat of global warming is going to be ever more harmful to all, people around the world, living organisms and lifestyles and
right.
systems. So I celebrated the voter rejection of a light rail plan to Tigard. That was a big one. That was 4 years leading up to 2020. But it was poorly engineered, and I say by design. They meant for it to be so bad, to waste money so that more people would thus have no recourse to get their needs met other than driving.
Okay.
And driving, is the most powerful of the businesses. Finance, insurance, sales, services, marketing, constructive roads, streets, highways, pay to park, district, pay to drive, toll roads, all the big structures, most powerful, are automobile related.
Well, thank you. It sounds as if, when you appointed to this position, that you certainly wanted to address the issues you address in terms of walkability, also in terms of cycling safety, and so what would you recommend for people who are interested in becoming more involved in these issues? Where should they go?
To become more involved. That's a great question, but there are a lot of closed doors, let's say, within our political system, including City Hall, county, the government metro, the regional government metro, state offices. There's no real open doors for totally understanding how the planning has commenced over all these years and why we're not getting ahead.
So I'm asking you, is there anything I can do? Because, the elevator is about to open and we're about to leave. So what do you say?
Well, that's a good one. The elevator's opening. I would put a lot of distrust. I would celebrate the director of ODOT leaving office.
Okay.
Because I'd say he was pushed out. That's one way to say what is going on and that's wrong here. And I would question the Rose Corridor project as proposed. I say that parts of it can be salvaged. But the planners are leading with development, and exorbitant development as a monetary gain, and with promises of housing, and it's all exaggerated.
Okay,
but you have to keep an eye on those kinds of projects, and you have to keep an eye on the agencies and the directors of what they're saying, and hold them to account.
Okay, and one last question. Are there any organizations that you would recommend people to work with to address these issues? And if you can't think
The one organization that helped me the most, as always, you know, now 30 years into transit planning, was AORTA, the Associated Oregon Rail and Transit Advocates. So they're the ones who understand transit systems best, better than most, private organizations. They're still out there.
And say the name again. Say the name again.
AORTA.
Okay, AORTA.
It's an acronym. Associated Oregon Rail and Transit Advocates.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Good talking to you.
So much.
Next time I'll come with a joke for you, okay?
All right. I look forward to it. You have a good morning, RT. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. Our last caller was sharing some of their thoughts around the Department of Transportation, noting, wouldn't say celebrating, but he did say he had good news. So they rejoiced that the director has resigned and looking forward to new things. There are if you're interested, continue to do some research and and look at organizations that can help you work in terms of your advocacy. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. This is More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil, and this morning we've spoken to several people. Last caller was sharing their concerns about the Department of Transportation and their lack of direction, and hoping, I think, that when a new director comes in or is appointed, that there will be more clarity and they will continue to build a strong Department of Transportation. Other callers have shared their thoughts about the political situation we are in, some observations about the situation in Washington, and the roles of Congresswoman Green and their argument with the President of the United States. These and other things are things that are concerning all of us. If you're listening to More Talk Radio, I want to recommend to you to continue listening for programming right after. Right after this is OMO Variety Hour at 9 o'clock. Fran Michelle is the host this weekend with segments about War Is Not Green, and I'm talking about the mainstream of the environmental movement. Following that at 10 o'clock is Barbara Bernstein's show. But right now, let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Tucker. How are you?
Good morning. I'm pretty good. Just cruising into work and loving this conversation.
Great. What are your thoughts?
I think for general environmental movement, the easiest thing anyone can do is just be super mindful of where we spend our money. There's a lot of general strikes going on, and those last for a day or two. And I think we've got a lot of power in our pocketbooks, so to speak. And if everybody collectively, continuously, can refrain from giving money to the people who are doing the majority of the polluting and planet destroying, then I think that could make a good, it would make a huge impact. And at the same time, it helps us spend our money in our more local communities and things like that. And it's really hard sometimes how convenient, you know, online shopping is and stuff like that.
Yes.
But with just a little bit of forethought and patience, I think it can make a pretty reasonable impact.
Well, tell me about that, because, you know, sometimes you said it's so much easier just like to shop online or to go to that that store from, you know, this big company rather than looking at the farmer market. How do you, or what would you say to people who say, my life is filled up with lots of things. I don't have time. You know, I just want to grab something. What would you say to encourage people to live a more responsible life?
Yeah, that's a really difficult thing to grapple with. Even myself, I face that a lot.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing you can really do, because there's not much you can do about all the other things going on in your life that take up all your time. But just being more okay with, you know, seeming to be wasting your time going out and trying to find something that's not online or taking the time to do it. It's definitely really hard, but one way my partner and I have kind of figured it out, we've got like a 1.5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
On Sundays, we kind of just like turn on cartoons and meal prep for the week.
Ah.
And so at least in the evenings, for the rest of the week, we can be more present and we have a little more mind space to, you know, do all the other things that we have to do. And I know meal prepping on like a weekend doesn't necessarily translate directly into shopping locally. But it can help a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other thing too is just dealing with it, you know, like take up the responsibility and saying, hey, I can make a teeny tiny impact. And if I can trust my neighbors to make an effort too, a little bit of effort gets easier the more you do it.
Yes.
And buying some stuff online is okay, especially if it's not through Amazon.
Okay. Right.
But also, I will say it's way easier living in Portland, because like where I grew up, you'd have to drive 30 minutes to get anything besides the hardware store or the country store.
Right.
And so I totally understand that when now there's 10 different stores that are not big box stores where I can go and get a new like drill bit.
Yes.
So there's something to be said for living in a city like that, but at the same time, I had a friend just move here from, you know, like a one street town, and she could get everything she needed at one store. So there's that side of things too.
Right, right.
I guess it's not easy, but a little bit of effort might go a long way.
And that's one thing that I'm taking from your conversation this morning. We can't do everything, but a little thing, something, and to give yourself some grace, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's definitely not, like, your fault that the planet is being trashed.
Right.
Like, it's possible someone's listening and they're like, well, it actually is my fault because maybe they did something that involved something, but I doubt they're listening to this.
Yeah.
And pretty much everybody, give yourself the grace and take a deep breath and,
every little bit counts. And, you know, thank you, I mean, for calling and just allowing us to do that and finding something you can do. So just as you and your partner, you know, turn on the cartoons on Sunday and you prepare meals for the week, you know, all of us can do something. So great.
Yeah. Well, appreciate you.
Appreciate you and thank you for calling this morning. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil. That was Tucker who was calling, following up on our discussion this morning about the environment and COP 30, and saying, you know, each person, we can do something. We, you know, take some time to think and reflect on how we spend our money and help. It's being okay and take time. Each of us can do something little. The world did not come to this place overnight, and it will not be transformed overnight. But each person, we can do our bit. And, you know, certainly looking at the macro picture, it's sad, and it can be intimidating and can lead to inaction. But as our last caller mentioned, and as each of our callers this morning shared, we all can do something and make a difference, whether it is talking and advocating, doing research about proposed transportation, reordering, whether it is looking at political parties, whether it is looking at how you can be more environmentally responsible in your environment. All of us, each of us can do something because we're all dealing with it, and it is easier for us to work together. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. If you would like to share your reflections and about the world we're living in and what we can do, give us a call here, 503-231-8187. Began this morning by just talking about COP30 and what all the nations except three nations, the United States, Afghanistan, Myanmar, and San Marino are not attending. But let's hear what someone who has some thoughts to say. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. Thanks so much for being there. I wanted to make a point that San Marino is a tiny landlocked nation in Italy, yeah, on the Italian peninsula, and it is a home of banking post offices, post boxes.
Oh.
This is a place where people go to launder their money.
Okay.
San Marino.
Okay.
Old nation state from back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I called because I was inspired by Tucker.
Mm-hmm. Yes. People. Yes.
Thoreau is not my favorite amongst the transcendentalists.
Okay.
He was kind of a mooch. But Thoreau said it best when he wrote, simplify, simplify, simplify.
Mm.
And among the transcendentalists, my favorite is Whitman, and Emerson comes close.
Mm.
But on another score, I wanted to make this point clear to one of your first callers. Neither Marx, nor Mao, nor Machiavelli ever created a single freedom for the people. And all of those M's are somehow correlated because it's about power. Power derived from extraction. Extraction of resources from the planet. Extraction of people from places. Extraction of skills from people. And I turn now to pay homage to my least favorite of the transcendentalists, Henry David Thoreau, who wrote, simplify, simplify, simplify.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much, Jeff. Simplify, simplify, simplify. And I think that's a good word for today. Today's word is simplify. Thank you so much, Jeff. And thank you for your passion and for all you are and do. You're listening to More Talk Radio, and our next caller is David. David, good morning. Are you there, David? If you're not, give us a call back, David. I'm sorry we took so long to get to you. And we think you're there. Oh, the line is open, but David is not there. Maybe David stepped away for a little while. Well, our last caller, Jeff, just reminded us of Transcendentalist. I amazed. I love our callers because all of you have so much to say and share. So Jeff was just sharing about, you know, talking about the environment and the life we live. He mentioned some transcendentalists we should know about, Thoreau, Walt Whitman, and Emerson. He said Whitman and Emerson are a favorite transcendentalist, and Thoreau less so, but I think we all should read them. Earlier callers also highlighted us on things we should be aware of, and also I will do some research, as one caller mentioned, on Martin Buber and Gandhi. I never knew there was a connection, but I will do some research about that. I came across an article by Avner Gavner about that. And in the meantime, as I set aside this article, let's hear from Lenita right now. Good morning, Lenita. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Cecil. How are you and your listeners doing?
I'm doing okay. Listeners have to speak for themselves. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Glad to wake up this morning. It's Monday. Let's try to see what the week entails. But I wanted to answer your question about Marjorie Taylor Jones.
Okay.
I think she's a snake. She'll always be a snake. And when she bites people, don't be surprised. She voted for these bills that are causing harm to her constituency. And I'm sure the Democrats caution other Republican colleagues about the harm this bill will entail.
Right. Yes.
Additionally, when she was being interviewed on CNN, the last interview, I think it was a couple of days ago, she ended the interview by saying they should have this infamous white supremacist on, Nick something, the Gropers, who's extremely unapologetic. Energetically, white supremacist, hates women, hates sex, hates everything, hates everybody. But he has gained a foothold in the conspiracy community within the MAGA movement.
Right.
And she dropped that as if to message her other constituents that she hasn't really changed. She's just doing this performative kind of stuff. Because she's mad that Trump won't support her in her bid to become a senator, because he probably doesn't believe that she'll win statewide. But I don't trust her. I know that was one of your questions. You had a number of very pertinent questions. But to answer your question, I do not believe she's changed. She voted for all this pain that her constituents are going through, and now she has to suffer the consequences, and everything else is just performative. I think AOC had a wonderful summary about what's going on. Basically, this is her personal issue with Trump and the MAGA movement, because she's still a woman, and they hate women, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I think the point you raise is an important one. I don't want us to lose it in terms of she and her colleagues voted for this bill, and they will have to be held accountable for it. And as I forgot the congressman name, I think he's also from Georgia, Massey, I believe. He said that, you know, in 2030, Trump won't be on the ballot. You have to answer it for yourselves. And so maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene is just recognizing that she has to, and her colleagues have to respond when come January, when people say they can't pay their health insurance. They'll be held responsible for the bill they voted for.
Not only that, Cecil, Trump will be out of office in 2028. Remember, the Constitution said you can only do two terms, right?
Yeah, that's right. And this president always obeyed the law, so, okay.
Well, I know he tried. He's probably trying to finagle a way to stay on the ballot, but, you know, you just pray for the fates to intervene. And yes, you voted for this. And it's not just the cost of the Affordable Care Act, which people refer to as the Obamacare, that'll go up. We're looking at utility bills. there was utility assistance that people got used to receiving every year. That's going away.
No income.
You have new restrictions on Medicaid and the distribution of food stamps, SNAP benefits with the new ABOD rules. I mean, this is going to hurt a lot of people just to give tax breaks to billionaires. And maybe people are finally starting to wake up to that fact. They have to suffer a little bit more. Cecil, thank you for all you do and have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Lenita. You have a great day as well. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. Our last caller, Lenita, was sharing some of their thoughts about how we, what type of society we are living in. We have one other caller who might have some words of wisdom or reflections for us. Let's hear what Tangent has to say. Good morning.
Hey there. I might have some wise dome. I like it to pronounce it like that. I want to talk about this term that's been resurrected since the 1920s, gunboat diplomacy. Have you ever heard of the USS Diplomat?
Well, that's certainly, we are resurrecting right now off of South America.
And yes, but what I'm getting at is there is no gunboat. There's no, gunboats are not diplomacy, obviously.
No.
You can cross the table with a 50 caliber machine gun and go, now do you see it my way? No. So, but the thing is, and who was that written about? Teddy Bully Roosevelt. Bully. It's bullying. It's not diplomacy.
And watch out.
These phrases are going to keep resurrecting.
So you just raised that point. I haven't heard it recently. What are you referring to? Are you referring to what's happened off of Venezuela?
They've been talking about it. Yeah, okay. And I was actually just thinking about the term. I don't know. Well, probably before when the first ones were happening. This is like something they taught us in grade school about something that happened a long time ago, even then. So there you go. The newspapers co-opt with these power grabber, money, country rapers. What do you want?
Okay.
Hey, here's one more. This is interesting because I saw this. I read somewhere and it goes, Virgin Territory. And I'm like, oh, I guess that's just before she gets screwed. The mining companies. Okay.
Well, thank you for your words, your insights this morning. I'm always curious about what you have to say to us. So thank you, Tangent. And you're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and we broadcast each Monday from 8 to 9 a.m. Pacific Time. Following our program this morning, you can continue to listen to the OMO Variety Hour, talking more about war, and war is not green, and I'm talking about organizations that we should know about and the pressure that is being put on environmental organizations. Particularly important to listen to as we are while COP30 is going on in Brazil. Following the old Mo Variety Hour is Locus Focus, and this morning Barbara will focus on reflection on climate, the protests, what is happening, can we sustain the energy and channel from the No Kings demonstrations, and also a conversation with Diana Meissen-Helter, climate, labor, and social justice activist, will happen this morning. So those are two programs here on your community radio stations that I know you would like to listen to, and if you're unable to listen to, you can turn to go to KBOOFM and look at the website and listen to those programs when they are put online. You have been listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Thank all of you for calling and participating in our morning conversations. Certainly, the Trump administration continues to create havoc on the planet, and we will see what happens next. As our callers, I want to go back to an earlier caller, Tucker, reminded us, you know, it may seem overwhelming, but look how you spend your money. Each person can help. Each person can make a difference in your environment. Tucker mentioned that it's important to notice how you spend and where you spend your dollars. And there are things you can do to make a healthier, better planet. Tucker reminded us that, you know, on Sunday, they prepare meals for the week, and that's a family activity that's nurturing for the family and prepares them for the week. So this week, notice things you can do to make the world a better place. Thank you all for being a part of our programming. I'm Cecil. This is More Talk Radio, and I will speak with you next time.
Tune to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kbu.fm.
Tune in this Monday at 11 p.m. as the bedtime radio show for grown-ups, Gremlin Time, presents by the Dawn.